Welcome to the Ask Coach Mac podcast, where coaches from around the world get their strength and conditioning questions answered.
Welcome to Ask Coach Mac, episode number 54. Super excited to be here today. As you guys know, some of you guys are just jumping in. I've decided to do Ask Coach Mac as Facebook Live this year. I just had some great interaction at the last episode, and I thought it would be a better way to jump on each week and share some of the questions that I get asked each and every week. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump on for about 10 minutes. I see a bunch of you guys jumping in. Lauren, I see you. Cody, I see you. Appreciate you guys jumping in. If you guys got questions, throw them in. I'm going to answer about four questions that I've got through various different ways throughout the week. But if you have a question and I have time, I will make sure to get to that. So I want to jump first to, it's an unnamed, I know who it is, but just the sensitivity of what they're going through right now. Just an unnamed strength coach, and basically has had a lawsuit filed against him, and just asked what he should do, And so the very first thing I'll tell strength coaches to do is you have to document everything. It's tedious, it's a pain in the butt. But it's something that can definitely protect you later on. And my quote today, you're going to have to stay till the end and hear the quote. I always end Ask Coach Mac with a quote, and I just couldn't leave this one off as I read it. But document everything. You have to keep all your certifications, all of your supplements on file. Make sure that you're getting them approved by, through the NCAA Safeguards Committee. Through drug-free sport, and at least you have that documentation that, as listed, it is okay for the athlete to take, and you can give that to them. They can make a decision, or if you're giving a supplement, that would be something. But having all your certifications on file so that you can hand that to a lawyer, your representation, or whatever, just helps to go show your credibility and your professionalism. You have to. When things do happen, you have to recount events. You have to have everybody that was in the room write down exactly what they saw and in their own words. Do it right away so it's fresh in their mind, but also by doing it right away and there being a little bit of time there, they can think about it and they can recount, they can add to it and things along those lines. So I think that's a very important step as well. Have those on file. And then again, you just hand that across when you're asked for those type of things, and it shows you professionalism. Last two things I'll say is Reed Wainwright, who I've done an episode with on Iron Game Chalk Talk, is a former strength coach. He was the strength coach for Rice a few years back, and he decided to get out of the profession, go into being a lawyer, and so he practices law in Dallas, Texas, I believe. And he's one of us, he's a former strength coach, has a heart for it, great guy, fantastic person. And so I would definitely reach out to Reed if you're having any issues. It's not if, it's sometimes it's when in this profession, just like with being hired and fired. But unfortunately, with a litigious, society, those things happen. So having, stuff, documented, make sure you have everything on file, make sure you're recording the events. As best as possible, that helps out. And then lastly, Andrea Hootie, I know as well, serves as an expert witness sometimes. And so she would be a great resource as she knows the inner workings of that and things along those lines. So hopefully it doesn't happen to anybody that's listening. But if things do happen, make sure that you're protecting yourself. And go through, but obviously, first and foremost, be safe, honor the Hippocratic Oath and do no harm, and do your best to provide a safe training environment. That's the number one thing you can do. All right, next question, and guys, as you're jumping in, I see Connor, I see Ed, thanks for jumping in, guys. As you're jumping in, ask questions, share this, as most of this is, again, on my Facebook coach page, as opposed to my profile. And so I'm still trying to build that up so people can watch it live. But rather than jump on the other one and try to share it back and forth, I decided to stay here. But second question comes from Jason. He asked, a 3,000 square foot weight room, what would I put in it? And Jason, what I typically do is I take my largest team and I divide that by four, and that's the number of racks that I look to have in the facility. That way I program in groups of four. And by doing that, what essentially I'm doing is I'm able to handle the largest team, you know, in those situations, camp situations, things like that, where I can handle the largest team all at once. And so that's ideally how I want to set my weight room up. I want to have as much floor space as possible, open area. I want to have as many workstations, racks, that I can. And that doesn't mean inclines and benches and squat racks and things like that. What that means is it's a dedicated space for athletes to be training in. And so, I mean, even if we're doing jump squats or we're doing, you know, something on the ground, push-ups or something, at least there's a workstation there and it's a defined space for the athletes. Because you know as well as I do, if we're dealing with high school or college kids, they will run off and you may lose them. So you want to make sure that you are having a space for them to train. So I try to do that. I try to have much open space, additional equipment. I want to make sure I have a leg press and pit shark in there. So I have some areas that I can train the lower body, especially for return to play athletes that are coming off injuries. And I can really load them up in more of a safe environment. I want to make sure that I have some pull variations. So a lat pull, low pull combination, I think is big. I like Sorenex's brand. I mean, if you're going with Sorenex racks or Samson racks, you can't go wrong with either one of those. I like Sorenex's lat pull low row and their Frankenhyper for you know, hyper extensions, reverse hypers. You can do one arm rows off that. There's a variety of things, and that brings me to my next point, that you want to have, if you do put a piece of equipment in, you want to have as many different exercises that you can do from that. I'm not an anti-machine guy. I actually love machines, but at the same time, it needs to have multifunction because you're giving up floor space for that. I would have power blocks at every rack. Just so, again, you know, I don't like having dumbbell areas and squat, you know, rack areas and bench areas and all these different things, and then keeping as many things there at the rack and in those groups of four as possible is important. I would have a dual adjustable pulley system that makes sure that you have a variety of exercises that you can do from that. I would make sure having as many different external loads as I can and options as I can, so as many different bars, you know, versa pulley for eccentric loading. I would have bands, I would have chains. That way there's as much variety as I can possibly get in that situation. And then lastly, from a cardio standpoint or from a conditioning standpoint, I don't like the word cardio. From a conditioning standpoint, I would have, I'd have two woodweight curves. I would have two rowers. I'd have two VersaClimbers. Those are great pieces of equipment that are light, that can be easily moved, and great ESD, you know, energy system development pieces that will take load off of the athlete. And outside of that, they just need to get outside. They need to go train outside and condition outside. Next question, Amos asks, you know, certifications. What certifications do I recommend? I like, you know, first of all, the first two that you need to focus on is being the accredited certifications, which is the NSCA CSCS and the CSCCA's Strength and Conditioning Coach Certified. Those two are the ones are the gold standard. CSCS is a little bit more flexible in that it allows you to work in a variety of different settings, variety of different ways. The CSCCA is mostly focused on college strength and conditioning. So if you're going to be a college strength coach, I think you should definitely have that. But the two of them together, I think, is the best combination. That way you cover all your bases and you know, you're part of two great organizations that do a lot to give back to strength coaches. The next kind of category is these kind of philosophy program certifications. So if, you know, I have an EXO certification, I like what they do. I'm not necessarily adopted all their philosophies and their, you know, the principles, but I like what they do. So I went and got that certification. I think Joe, I'm not sure if Joe has come out with, but I think he is coming out with a tier system certification. And so I follow that type of programming as well. And so I would get that certification if it was available. I think having that, you know, whatever kind of philosophical allegiances you may have, is smart to kind of go a little bit deeper into the programming side of things. And then lastly, the last category. So kind of you have this accredited category that you need to have jobs. You have these philosophy-based, you know, certifications that people that you might identify with, organizations you might identify with. And then you have this advanced training, you know, precision nutrition with nutrition. You have EXOS or, you know, ignition speed certification. You have a variety of different kettlebells, you know, TRXs, FMS, all those types of things. Those things aren't going to necessarily get you hired, but they are going to help give you a unique skill set to be able to jump in to a program and contribute in some way. And so if we're doing FMSs and you have the FMS certification, it's going to make it a little bit easier for us to get you caught up to speed with what we do. So those are the three kind of categories that I would recommend that you kind of look at things. You know, the accredited ones are the ones you need. The other ones are just dessert. They're not needed, but they do help give you advanced training. Fourth question I had, somebody asked the difference between masterminds and summits. As you guys know, I'm running the play masterminds and summits. Summits basically are basic, your topical, variety of topics, variety of speakers, conferences, you know, your typical strength and conditioning conference. We're obviously going to put a different spin on it. It's going to be great events. We have fantastic speakers. We have fantastic locations. We're in the U.S. We're doing Under Armour facility, play headquarters, and Noblesville High School with Brian Clark. Internationally, we're doing Sydney, Australia. We're doing Belfast, Ireland, and we're doing Toronto with the Toronto Blue Jays. So fantastic locations, and then phenomenal speakers. You know, Kelly Starrett, Dan Baker, Craig Fitzgerald, Aaron Wellman, Jim Kielbasa, on and on and on and on. Gary Schofield, just a ton of great speakers. Go to playsummits.com and we'll be putting more information up there. We got our website, Play Performance, coming out very soon. And that's going to live there in a little bit more detail. But in the meantime, to register, go to playsummits.com. Masterminds, on the other side, are workshops. You know, we're taking specific topics. We're going to deep dive into them. We're going to bring experts in. They're going to speak. And then we're going to work on an aspect of yourself or the program. And so we have a speed mastermind at Lauren Lando's place in Denver. We got Dan Taft coming to that. We have Derek Hansen coming to that. Some, you know, Brett Bartholomew, and on and on and on. We have some great speakers of that. And then we have a professional development that's going to be geared towards the entry-level strength coach, interns, GAs, you know, all about kind of developing the skill set to go on in this business. And so hopefully you guys get, you know, check those out, playsummits.com, register, some fantastic events. Saw a couple questions. I got a few minutes here. I've got dinner cooking in the background and my oven is beeping at me, so I'm not going to stay too long. Cody, good to see you, man. You say, let's see here. Cody, you got, what are a couple key points to help establish strength and relationships between the strength department and athletic trainers? And I think, you know, first and foremost, it's communication. It's breaking down those barriers. It's recognizing that they have a different skill set than you have, and vice versa. You know, and so, you know, getting on the same page, communicating with one another, you know, basically just letting them know what you're doing, finding out exactly what they're doing, and letting down your guard, I think, is the biggest thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I can't do what they do. They have fantastic, you know, they just care about people. I mean, obviously I care about people, but, you know, they just do it a different way. You know, and I think that sometimes our ego gets in the way of some open communication lines there. Blake Brewster, good to see you, Blake. Can someone get a job as a strength coach in the college setting without being a college athlete themselves? You know, Blake, as you know, I've talked about this in our intern training. I think personally, you have to have played the sport that you're working with to be a great strength coach. I think you can be a good strength coach working with a sport. And I think if you have years in, I think you ultimately can get there. But at the end of the day, unless you played football and you ran into gotten in a car accident every week, basically, and then have to come in and lift, you just don't understand what that feels like. And so I think that to be a great strength coach, you have to have played the sport. To be a good strength coach, I think you should have played sports. And then obviously you can overcome those obstacles if you were not a college athlete, by years in. But I do think that you need to become competitive in something. I often tell people that if something has to make sense. It has to make sense for you to want to be in that field. So whether that's powerlifting or Olympic lifting, or maybe you're getting into martial arts or something where maybe talent wasn't the, obviously got to be talented to be, elite, but you don't have to be super talented to go just compete in those things. And so long as you're competing and have an understanding of what that means to work towards a goal, and apply yourself each and every day, that's what really matters to, and that's what translates to being a great strength coach. Connor, you say, how do you deal with sport coaches trying to get into your space and dictate what you do? More specifically, how other than being good at what you do, which takes time, do you get people to buy in? I think, the easiest way is to leverage others, leverage your mentors, And so, oftentimes when I speak and I'm maybe speaking on a topic that I'm not as familiar with or don't have the acumen maybe or the expertise, and then I'll reference people that do and the way that they're doing it. And so I think young strength coaches jumping in, I think as long as you're researching what other people do, you're constantly communicating with them, you're able to sit down and say, hey, this is my program, but it's also a similar program to what, this BCS program does or this the Olympic Training Committee does. I think that helps give you some credibility, and then again, leveraging your mentors and having a wide net there to be able to reach out to helps contribute to that. Guys, I gotta jump off. I gotta get back to cooking dinner for the family. The bell's going off in the background, but in the meantime, if you're jumping in, there's a couple questions I didn't get to. If you're jumping in late, go ahead and ask your questions. I'll be jumping in as we go. Share this with any strength coach you can. If you have not liked the Facebook page, like the Facebook page, as Mike's asked, when's dinner being served? That's going to be served here in about 15 minutes probably. But like the Facebook page, because I had to move everything over there, and so not the whole audience isn't there yet, but we'll migrate over. This is where they'll be live each and every week, and then I'll be posting it in iTunes for the podcast as well. In the meantime, I always end these with a quote. And as I mentioned earlier, I tried not to use this quote, but I just couldn't leave it off. And so it's by Dick Brandon. We're talking about liability. And he says, documentation is like sex. When it is good, it is very, very good. And when it is bad, it is better than nothing. And so documenting everything and having that helps, great product. And one of the sponsors for the show is Train Heroic. They do a phenomenal job of monitoring and tracking data, and having that when you need it is priceless. So I definitely check them out. But in the meantime, guys, make sure you're sharing this. Appreciate you jumping in, and I'll see you guys next week. Take care. See ya. Bye.